Reishis Masechta Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. We will begin Daf Kuf Lamed Beis on the Beis, six lines from the bottom. The Amar Kedda Esrim Va'Arba Matnas Kahuna. When we speak about the 24 Matnas Kahuna, Kol Kain She'en Ebokeh Behem, any kain who's not an expert in the various halachas that apply to the Matnas Kahuna, any nice la matana should not receive from the Matnas Kahuna. Pash B'Shat, the Gemara is going, referring back to the halacha that we discussed at the end of the previous shiur, where Rav Chisda taught us l'mashcha k'derech shemalachim oichlim, that the matnas kahuna should be eaten in a very distinguished fashion. And here our Gemara is teaching us that if a kohen does not know that halacha, he should not receive from the matnas kahuna. Says the Gemara, "V'lav milsehi." However, that is incorrect. The Tanya, we learned in a brisa. Rishimin Einar, kol koin she'en amoida b'avoida. Any koin who doesn't admit to the avoida. And we have here a very big machloikus rishonim. What is the definition? Rishonim and achronim actually. What is the definition of kol koin she'en amoida b'avoida? Rashi explains that kol koin she'en amoida b'avoida. Is he said that this is something the Moshe Rabbeinu himself came up with, wasn't told to us by Hashem. The Ritva and other Rishonim take issue with Rashi's Pshat, because they say, because if that's the case, that he doesn't believe that the Avoida comes from Hashem, then it's not necessarily only about the Avoida that he would become disqualified to do the avoda. The halacha would be regarding if he doesn't believe any mitzvah doesn't come from Hashem. He falls into the category of a koifer be'ikr, and someone who's a koifer be'ikr isn't allowed to obviously do the avoda. And because of that, the Ritva says that what ein amoid b'avoda is that he does agree that the din of kabbalah is come from Hashem, but he doesn't seem to believe how important the avoda is. He thinks, yeah, it's something that is sort of voluntary. Well, we know that the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash is absolutely mandatory. The Chafetz Chaim says that kol koyin she'en amoida b'avoda refers to someone who doesn't learn the hilchos avoda. A koyin isn't just supposed to do the avoda. He does somebody who doesn't do believe in learning the halachas of avoda, such a kohen doesn't give the avoda the proper respect it's due, and therefore ein lo chelek b'kohen should not have a share in the avoda. Another pshat that I saw from the Kli Chemda says this pshat, and the Chem Sofer seems to say this pshat. They learn pshat that kol kohen shemayin ein amoida b'avoda is that they believe that person who believes that the only reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Avoida is because the Goyim used to worship, they used to have their pagan worship. And in order that we should have something also, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gave us the Avoida for that reason. Somebody who believes that way, Ein Lo Chelek B'Kahuna, is not deserving of a Chelek in Kahuna. And as the Achronim point out, between Rashi and the Ritva, there's a very big machlokes. Because according to Rashi, only the Kohen who doesn't believe in Avoida will be excluded from having a shear in the Avoida. But let's say he doesn't believe in another mitzvah. Of course, it's a terrible Aveira, but even though it's a terrible Aveira, it will not disqualify him from doing, it will not disqualify him from being able to get a shear of the Kabbonis. Whereas according to Ritva, it's not limited to the Avoida. Rather, any Kohen who doesn't believe in any part of the Avoida, according to the Ritva, will be excluded from the Avoida. Furthermore, there's a fundamental machlokes in how to approach this Gemara. Because some say that when we say Ein Lo Chelek B'Kahuna, it means strictly regarding the Avoida, regarding Kabbonis. But Matnas Kahuna, Zroya L'chayim V'keva, he still will be entitled to. Whereas others say
that Kol Kohen She'ena Moed V'Avoida Ein L'Chelek B'Kuhuna doesn't only mean that he doesn't have a shear in the Kabbonis, but he doesn't even have a shear in any Matas Kuhuna that Kohanim receives. Shemema, as the Pasuk says, Hamat V'Stam Hashlomim V'Schel of Bnei Aaron Loi Si Ha'Shoy Kayomi Limona Ein L'Elazah B'Vad. So from this pasuk, I would say that only hamakrif shlomim, only regarding somebody who performs the avoid of the kabban shlomim, he has to believe in it in order to get a chelik. Menayin l'rabbis chamesh yesre avoidus. How do we know that this halacha also applies regarding other avoidus? Kigon hayitzikas. When we learned Masechta from Menachos, we learned that the oil in the keli which the kabban mincha was brought was poured first when the keli was empty, then was poured again when there were some ingredients poured in, and then it was poured in again a final time, or hablilos, that the oil and all the other ingredients, the flour or water, have to all be mixed together, v'psisos, by certain kabban minchas that are baked, they have to be crumbled, v'melichas, all kabbanis we know have to be salted, tenufas, many kabban minchas and other kabbanis have to go through a waving procedure, Vagoshes, the Karban Mincha, have to be brought near the Mizbeach. Vakamitza, by a Karban Mincha, Kamitza is removed, which is actually the part that's burnt on the Mizbeach. Haktaras, the burning of the Karbanos in the Mizbeach. Hamalikai, when we bring a Karban from a bird, unlike when we just want to eat a bird, with Shechita is required by a Karban Malika, piercing the back of the neck is the procedure for killing the bird. Hazaz, when we do Hazab on the Mizbeach or other places in the Beis HaMikdash, Hashkar Saita, the procedure that goes through when a person under certain circumstances accuses his wife of adultery, Arifas Egla Rufa, if a corpse was found between two cities and we don't know who was the murderer, we have to go through a procedure of bringing an Egla and decapitating it. The Taras HaMetzaira, the procedure that goes through when a Metzaira becomes Tahar, Nesias Kapayim, Duchening, Beim B'Vifnim Beim B'Chutz, both in the Beis HaMikdash and outside the Beis HaMikdash. How do we know that in all these avoiders, only the kind who accepts these avoiders is qualified to do the avoiders? Tamlaima Mibnei Aaron, Avoida Hamura Bnei Aaron. The kol kain she'ena moedaba, any kind that doesn't believe in them, ein lo chelek b'kuna, should not get a share of the kabbonis. But what do we see from this braisa? Tam adeina moedaba, only the kind who doesn't admit to these avoiders is excluded from them. Ha moedaba, but if he accepts them, api avgav dein bokibem, even though he is an expert in all of the halachas, he does not become disqualified from doing the avoda. And as the Meiri summarizes, he says, certainly a Kayin, if we have two Kohanim, if there's one Kayin who is a Baki, who is an expert in the halachas, and one is not, we prefer the Kayin who is the expert. But if there is no other Kayin, then we should give it even to the Kayin, even though he's ain't a Baki, even though he's not an expert. However, when it comes to Kohen Shein Moida Behen, even if there is no other Kohen available, the Bryce is teaching us that we should not give the Matnas Kuhuna to a Kohen Shein Moida Behen. And in fact, I saw from Rav Ozna, Shlita, the Shail Sechuvah Shevet HaLevi, that he says that this is why many people have the minig that when they do a Pinyan HaBen, they specifically look for a Kayin. Number one, he has to be a Kayin Yuchas, so that we should be certain that he indeed is a Kayin. But they also look for a Kayin who's a Yerushamayim, a Talmud Chacham. And the question is, why? The Torah doesn't say that it has to be a Kayin who's a Talmud Chacham. The Torah says it has to be a Kayin. But now it's very understandable, because our Gemara is teaching us that a Kayin, Shana Maida Behen, is disqualified from the Avoida. So therefore we look for a Talmud Chacham, a Yerushmayim, that could be certainly in the category of a Kohen HaMoida in the Avoida. Continues the Gemara, Amrav Abba, Amrav Hun, Amrav. Chut Nishabalechi. We've been discussing, and we'll continue discussing, that the Zroi, L'chaim, V'keva are given to the Kohen. The L'chaim include the cheek. The cheek has certain chutin, has certain veins that have in them dam, they have to, and they have to be taken care of. Actually, as the Pais can point out, it's not only that the lechi have these veins, but the tongue, which we learned and will learn, seems to be included in the matana of the Zroi L'chaim V'keva, also has chutei dam. Kol kohen shein yodei litlon, any kohen that doesn't know how to remove these veins, ein nos l'matana, should not receive the lechi. However, says the Gemara V'lohi, that is actually incorrect. Because ibetavya, if the meat is going to be roasted, made of davya, as we've learned previously, that when you broil a piece of meat, that draws out the blood. V'lekdera, and if the piece of meat is going to be cooked, idem chatak la'moloch lehu, if they're cut and salted, made of davya, that's how the blood gets out as well. And as the Mefarshim explained the Gemara, let's try to understand, who is our Gemara talking about? If it's speaking about this, an individual who knows that you have this issue with the cheeks and with the tongue, so obviously he'll know that he has to have these veins removed. And if it's unfortunately referring to an individual who doesn't know that the veins carry this concern, so what's the point that the Gemara is saying that we'll take it and roast it or cook it? He doesn't know that there's any issue here. And that's why the Achronim explained that of course the Gemara is referring to an individual that knows that there are these veins. But the Gemara and the Havamina thought that even though the person knows that these pieces of the animal have this issue, he is a person who he himself does not know how to remove those veins. And because he doesn't know how to remove those veins, the Gemara assumed that he should not be allowed to have the meat because he may not take it for nikur, we may forget to take it for nikur. Teaches us the Gemara that we need not be concerned. If he knows that there's an issue that the blood has to be removed, they're very easily, these veins can very easily be removed. Actually, this Gemara is used to discuss an issue that we've discussed previously in our shiurim about how blood is removed. Now, as our Gemara says, it can be removed either through broiling or through salting. And as the Gemara says clearly, when you're going to be removing the blood through salting, first you have to cut the blood. First, you have to cut that meat to help where the blood should escape. The question that the Rishonim already discussed is the requirement to cut the meat also there when you're going to remove the blood through roasting. And it seems from our Gemara that there is no requirement to cut the meat when you're roasting, because the Gemara says only when you're cooking is roasting requiring. Otherwise, cutting seems not to be required. However, Tosfos' opinion is that even by roasting, some cuts should be done in the meat if you're removing the blood through broiling, and that is indeed our minhag, that we always do some cuts in the meat, even if we're removing the blood through roasting. Amar Rava, Baddik Lan, Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef tests us. Hai Kohana the Chotev Matanasa, a Kohen who grabs the Matnas Kohuna. How do we look at this behavior? Do we say Chavuvi Kom Chavuv Mitzvah? He obviously wants to show how great the mitzvah is to him that he's grabbing. Or is Azuli Kom Zalzim Mitzvah? Or does it represent an improper behavior that he's not treating it with the proper respect? Pashtinale, to which I respond, the Pasuk says, V'nosan V'loy Shiito Me'atzmai. The Pasuk says that he should get it, and not that he should take it himself. And in fact, the Rishonim say that this halacha is not only by Matnas Kuna, it's by Truma, it's by Maiserishin. In all situations, he should be given, not take it himself. So Rashi explains that the case here of Chater Matanasa was that he grabbed the Matnas Kuna from a child that's carrying them. And the Chasam Sofer explains why does Rashi specifically explain the Gemara in such a manner. Or he explains, if the Matnas Kuhuna are still by the owner of the animal, and somebody, and a kohen goes and grabs those Matnas Kuhuna, since, as we have been learning, the owner has Toivus Hanoah, he has the right to choose which kohen should receive the Matnas Kuhuna, and if somebody grabs it from him, he's certainly considered a ganif. On the other hand, if the owner of the Matnas Kuhuna has already presented the Matnas Kuhuna to a specific kohen, or has appointed a shliach to deliver those Matnas Kuhuna to a specific kohen, and somebody else comes and grabs it away from him, that too would certainly be considered a situation of geneva. Here we're referring to a situation where there's a child carrying it. And since the child is carrying it, so it seems to show that the owner doesn't really care anymore about this Matnas Kuhuna, nor has it become the property yet of any specific kohen, and therefore, by taking the Matnas Kuhuna, there is no issue of geneva, gzeila. The issue, however, is it the proper thing to do or not? Furthermore, the Rishonim say that even if a kohen grabbed the Matnas Kuhuna from somebody as they were carrying it, from the children as they were carrying it, the right thing to do is to report back to the owner that I am the kohen that received those Matnas Kuhuna. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaya, Mereish have a chetifne matanasa. Originally, I used to grab the Matnas Kuhuna, Abaya obviously being a kohen. Amina, because my thinking was, chavuvi kamachav v'mitzvah. By acting this way, I'm showing my love for the mitzvah. However, kivin the shemana laha, once I heard what we just learned, the Brisa teaches us, v'natal, v'nosan, v'loy shiita me'atzmai, michtav lechatifne, I stopped grabbing. And the Mefarshim say, from here we see how great the Amoraim were. Abai was obviously a great Talmud Chacham and a great Amoira. But they did not stop him from constantly reviewing his behavior if what he was doing was the right thing or not. Furthermore, it seems, the Sefer Me'ah Shiloyach explains, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to have these Matnas Kuhuna. Because otherwise, why didn't he learn about this until later on in life? However, Abaye says, Meima Amri Havili, I would still request the Matnas Kuhuna. However, Kim the Shemana Lohad Tanya, once I heard another Braisa, that the Braisa says regarding the Bnei Shmuel, the sons of Shmuel, Hanavi, V'yato Akrei Habotza, they looked for money, and Remeo Oimer, what does that mean? Bnei Shmuel, Chalkam Shol B'fihem, they were Levium, and they were entitled to Maiserishin, and they requested the Maiserishin, and the Pasuk speaks unfavorably about them for acting this way. I stopped even asking for a Matnas Kuhuna. Some Mefarshim say, from here we see that one may never ask for the Matnas Kuhuna. Others say that it's only people like the Bnei Shmuel, who are obviously very important people, prestigious individuals, that if they're going to ask for the Matnas Kuhuna, those that they ask from will have no choice but to honor their request. Such people may not ask, but someone else who you could refuse may ask. How it says Abaye, so at that point, I no longer request it. However, if I received, I would take. However, given the Shemana Lohadatani, once I learned what we learned in the Braisa, the Gemara says in Masechta Yuma that as long as Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol, and they divided every Shabbos the lechem upon him, even though all the Kohanim only got a very small piece of the lechem upon him, kapol, the size of a bean, it still satiated them. But then after Shimon HaTzadik was nifter, they that wasn't enough, the pull wasn't enough to really satiate anybody. And therefore the Gemara says in Masechet Yuma, Hatznu Moishchem Es Yedeyem, the quiet Kahanim would stop taking Matnas Kuna, V'Gagarnim Cholkim, only people who weren't so well behaved took Mishkan Nam L'Shekina. I didn't take Matnas Kuna either. And the way the Rishonim explain is because there were people who needed the Matnas Kuna more than he needed the Matnas Kuna, and because he didn't want to act in this disrespectful way, that's why he didn't take they stopped taking Matnas Kuna. And Abaye says that he too stopped asking for, they stopped taking Lachem upon him, and Abaye following the same behavior also stopped taking Matnas Kuhuna. So the Mefarshim explain the reason the people did so in the times of the Lechem Aponim is because they were getting less than a kezayis, and since they were getting less than a kezayis, so they really weren't being mekayim a mitzvah when they get such a small piece, and asking for it and grabbing it wasn't proper behavior, so they stopped asking for it. Which opened itself to a very interesting discussion amongst the Paiskim. From here it seems that since they weren't going to get the proper shear anyway, so there's no point, there's no mitzvah, so that's why they didn't ask for it. Which seems to be that if you don't have the shear, there is no mitzvah. And the question comes up, then if so, what will be the halacha if someone on Pesach, for example, and doesn't have a kezayis matzah, or is unable to eat a kezayis matzah, he's unfortunately sick, should he not even eat less than a kezayis? Because our Gemara seems to indicate that there's no point in eating less than a kezayis because there's no mitzvah, or should he at least eat what he can? So the Paiskim all say that of course he should eat as much as he can. Because the Aruch HaShulchan, for example, says there's a very big difference between the case of Lechem Aponim and the case of Matzah. In the case of Lechem Aponim, there is no specific mitzvah on every individual to eat Lechem Aponim. And therefore, if he can't get a kezayis, or if it involves not acting appropriately, he should not request it. However, on Pesach, where every one of us has an obligation to eat matzah, so of course we're supposed to eat a kezayis, but if somebody can't eat a kezayis, he should eat as much as he can. Furthermore, the Ramah says that our Gemara is the reason why someone should never fight for a mitzvah. The Gemara says that Galila, the Galila in the Sefer Torah, is a very great honor. The Gemara in Sefer Brachah says, HaGoylul Noitel Schar Kneged Kulam, but says the Ramah, as great of a mitzvah it is, somebody, no one should fight just to be able to get Galila. But Abaye continues, there was once a year that he did take Matnas Kuhuna. Levayim Amal Yom Tikipura, Lechzuki Nash Bekana. He didn't want it to be forgotten that he's a Kohen, so Erev Yom Kippur, he would go out of his way to get Matnas Kuhuna. And there's actually Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand this, what Abaye did. Some Rishonim say that in Erev Yom Kippur, there were a lot of people trying to get Matnas Kuhuna. There's a mitzvah to eat an Erev Yom Kippur. And that's why Abaye and Erev Yom Kippur went out of his way to get Matnas Kuhuna in the middle of this crowd, that everybody should recognize that he, of course, is a Kohen. Other Rishonim say just the opposite. Abaye wanted to continue this behavior of not trying to take. So the rest of the year, where people, all the other Kohanim, are trying to get Matnas Kuhuna, Abaye avoided taking Matnas Kuhuna. But in Erev Yom Kippur, most people are busy with other things, so they're not busy trying to get Matnas Kuhuna. That was the time that Abaye chose that he should take Matnas Kuhuna. But the Prechadis says that not only did Abaye choose to take Matnas Kuhuna in Erev Yom Kippur, he actually requested the Matnas Kuhuna to show publicly that he was a Kohen. So ask the Gemara, if Abaye's goal is just to prove that he's a Kohen, v'lifres yadei, he can make that point by duchening, and everybody will see that he's a Kohen. Although the Mefarshim do say, only someone like Abaye, who was actually a Kohen, and all he was trying to do was to make sure it not be forgotten that he was a Kohen, that could be established by him duchening, by doing the Sis Kapayim. But an individual who comes to a town and is not known in that town as a Kohen, just by duchening, it won't be enough of a proof that he's a Kohen. Answers the Gemara, Ansalei Idni. Two pshatim. One is that Abaye was busy giving a shir, was busy giving a lecture, and therefore he wasn't able to duchen because the shir took place during the time of davening. Another pshat is that Abaye was not a well person, and therefore he had issues that he had to use the bathroom and he could never duchen. Omer Rabbi Yosef, Hai kana d'islei tzuber rabbanan b'shirusei. If a kohen has in his neighborhood a talmud chacham, the chiklei milsa, and this talmud chacham is having hard times financially, liskalei matanasa. What the kohen should do is tell the Yisrael who's giving the matnas kahuna to give all of his matnas kahuna to that Yisrael, Talmud Chochem, who's having a difficult financial time. V'afagav, the lo yasal yodei, even if the Kohen never actually takes ownership of that matnas kahuna, because we speak here about makirei kahuna v'leviyah. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is that this Kohen is a person that is a great individual, and he is going to receive the matnas kahuna, and therefore all the other kahanim in town recognize that they have no chance of getting matnas kahuna because the Yisraelim in town are going to give their matnas kahuna to this kohen, and therefore this kohen could tell the owner of the matnas kahuna, give it directly to the Yisrael Talmud Chacham. Others say it's not because the other kahanim have actually forfeited their rights, because they have no hope of getting it. It's a special takon and rabbanon that Chazal made for makiri kahuna leviyah. And of course, the Mefarshim asked, why don't we just go through the regular procedure where the kohen should receive the matnas kahuna and then he should deliver them to this Yisrael Talmud Chacham who needs the food? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is because this Yisrael will refuse to take it from the kohen, because he doesn't want to take stock up. But if the owner tells him, I can't do anything with it, I have to give it away, and he wants me to give it to you, then he's more likely to take it. Or it's referring to a situation where the kohen has already fulfilled his stock obligations, and therefore, if he's going to receive it, under certain circumstances, not only does he not have any more obligation to give stock up, maybe he's not allowed to give stock up. But if he never receives it, that's when he's allowed to give it to the Talmud Chacham that way. Furthermore, there's a machloikis hapoiskim. What will be if the person himself who is giving these matnas kahuna is the oni Talmud Chacham? Can the kohen say, you keep it? Some say this procedure would only work for another individual, but not for the owner himself of the animal with the matnas kahuna. And some paiskim, because Chetshuva brings the machlokes, say it could even be perhaps effective for the owner himself. Says the Gemara, Rav Rav Safra, Iklu lebein Mar Yochna b'reid Rav Chana b'Ada. They came to the house of Mar Yochna. Vamle lebein Mar Yochna b'reid Rav Chana bar Bizna. Ovle Iklu Tilsa. And he prepared for them an Iklu Tilsa. Many shot him, what is the definition of an Iklu Tilsa? Some say an Iklu Tilsa is a calf that's a third grown. That's when it's best. Others say an Iglo Tilsa is the third born animal of its mother. That's when it's best. Others say Iglo Tilsa means just a healthy animal. Amle Rav L'Shamay. So the waiter in this home, that the owner was a Yisrael, but the waiter was a Kohen. And in fact, from here to Magen Avraham says that we see that a Kohen may act as a waiter, even though we know we're not allowed to work with a Kohen. So the Magen Avraham says, if the Kohen himself is willing to do the job, there is no problem. So Rava told us later, and there's a machlokes here Rishonim as well, was Rava himself a Kayin, but he didn't want to go through this procedure himself, because we just finished learning the Gemara that you're not supposed to ask for Matnas Kohen yourself. Or others say that it was Rava who was a Kayin. Rava wasn't a Kayin, and Rava therefore asked the waiter, Zakalam Matanasa, I want you to please take ownership of this, of the tongue of this animal on my behalf. The bina lamecha lishna b'chadol, because I want to have tongue and mustard, which was a great delicacy. Zakalay, so he did it for him. Rava ochel, Rava ate. Rav Safra ochel. Rav Safra refused to eat from this tongue that the waiter now gave them. Akri Rav Safra b'chalma. That night, Rav Safra has a dream. And he sees the pasuk in Mishlei that says, "Ma de beged b'yom kara," like wearing a worn-out garment on a cold day, "chaimetz al neser," or like putting vinegar on clay, "v'shar b'shirim aleiv ra," somebody who teaches Torah to a poor mind, it's all useless activities. Also, kamed Rav Yosef. So Rav Safra saw this dream, and he comes to Rav Yosef, and he says to him, the fact that I saw this pasuk that seems to indicate that I did the wrong thing, seems to indicate that the wrong thing, that I, that what Rava did with the Shamish was actually the proper thing to do. So Rav Yosef said, no, you didn't do the wrong thing. Because ki amri ano, when did I say that a Kohen could give over his gifts to another Yisrael? Ba'achar. I was talking in a situation, the Kohen who doesn't feel pressured to do so. Here, Shalom Bal Karcha Mezakeh. The waiter's job is to make everybody around the table feel good. So of course the waiter, if Rav is going to ask him to do this, has no choice but to do it. Furthermore, V'chi Amri Ano, this entire procedure that I proposed, says Rav Yosef, was L'man D'Layef Shalei, was regarding a Kohen, a Talmud Chacham, who needs the food. Ha'efshalei, you, Rav Safra Rava, had plenty of food available to you that you did not need to go through this procedure. So Rav Safra, so therefore Rav Yosef was saying to Rav Safra, you actually did the right thing. So now the question is, if Rav Safra did the right thing, and it was Rava who didn't, so my time, my crying hachi, so why did Rav Safra see the pasuk? Rava should have seen the pasuk. Answers the Gemara, Klapi Rava. They actually meant Rava. So ask the Gemara, Ulkayim LaRava. So they should have shown the pasuk to Rava, not to Rav Safra. Answers the Gemara, Rava Nosef Hava. Rava was in Chayru. So Rashi gives two explanations why Rava was Nosef. One explanation Rashi says is because of this very situation, this very incident, caused that Hashem should be angry. Another pshat that Rashi says, he quotes the Gemara in Masechta Tainus. The Gemara Masechta Tainus reports that they came to Melech Shafur and they told him that Rava in his Bezdin had given somebody Malchus. And the king was upset, as if the Jews were, had their own government. And he wanted to punish Rava. So Ifra Hormuz, who was the king's mother, came and told him, don't start up with the Jews, they're very powerful. So the king said, I'll see if they're powerful. So Rava, even though it was with the summer, and we know in the climate of the Mediterranean in the summer it doesn't rain, Rava davened and it rained. So the king indeed saw the power of Rava and he did not punish him. However, that night Rava's father appeared to him in a dream and told him not to sleep on his bed. And in fact, in the next morning, when he came to his bed, he saw there were snakes by his bed. Why? Because Hashem was angry at him for making him, so to speak, change the world order that it should rain in a time where it normally doesn't rain. Says the Gemara, Amrei Abaya L'Ravdimi, or Pashtana the Krav and Mike Siv. How do we learn Pashup Shad in that Pasuk? Amrei, the Pasuk is teaching us, B'Shayna L'Talmud Shayna Hagen. The Pasuk is referring to teaching a Talmud who doesn't act appropriately. Dom Rav Yehuda Amarav. Kol HaShayin LaTalmud Shein HaHogin. Neufel B'Gehenim. teaching a Talmud who doesn't act properly goes to Gehenna. Shnemer, Kol Choshech Tomen L'Tzvira Techleu Eish. If you teach to somebody who you reveal hidden things to somebody who doesn't deserve it, Techleich Eish will be eaten by fire. When Nefuach Yera Sored Bahaloi. Vein Sored Al Tamchochem Shnemer Besidim Azakari. So Farshim explain, of course, the Rebbe doesn't go to Gehenna for teaching a Talmud who doesn't act appropriately. Means is that if the Talmud is in Gehenna, because he's a person that acts inappropriately, people will say that the Rebbe also probably acted inappropriately, because how did he end up with a Talmud that went to Gehenna? What is the definition of a Talmud Shenahogim? Some say it's a Talmud who doesn't intend to follow what he's learning. Others say it's referring to Talmud who learns Torah Shloi Lishma. Arav Yidam Rav, Kalashana Talmud Shenahogen, Kazarik Evan Lamakulis. Just like throwing a stone at the Makulis is Avera, this too. Shnema Kitsura Ervin Bimag Rema, Kinoisan Laksil Kovid, Laksiv Loinova Laksil Tanit. So the Masha explains, just like if somebody threw a stone at the Makulis, and he's trying to embarrass the Makulis, but he's really not, because that's the way that Avodah Zorah was worshipped. Here too, you'll think you're doing the right thing, by teaching in such a Talmud, you're actually doing the wrong thing. Because, as the Mefarshim go on to explain, the purpose of teaching Torah to Talmidim is that they should grow from the learning. This Talmud will not grow. However, the Mefarshim go on to explain, we know that the Gemara says, Barasali Yetza, Barasali Torah Tavlid. That Kadosh Baruch Hu created a Tavlid against the Yetzer Hara, which is Torah. So we see that who needs to learn Torah? Somebody who has a Yetzer Hara. Otherwise, what's Pshat in the Gemara? So how can we say that you shouldn't teach a Talmud Sheinah Hagen? So far as we say, Talmud Sheinah Hagen means someone who has no intention to use his learning for positive uses. But of course, if somebody intends to use his learning for a positive purpose, even if right now he isn't on that madrega, you may teach such a person Torah. Furthermore, the Shulchan Aruch Rav paskins that what the Gemara here means is that you shouldn't go out to seek a Talmud who isn't Ein Hagen. Let's say somebody is giving a shiur, and at the shiur someone sits down who is a person Ein Hagen. Of course, you could continue giving the shiur. Moreover, the Paiskin of Michas Yitzchak and other Paiskin of Maisora Moshe discussed the question, may one be a teacher in an institute that perhaps the people who run that institute and the parents of the students aren't necessarily are now acting appropriately? And they say, of course, you may be, because on the contrary, you may have a positive influence in those Talmidim, and you should certainly try to be so. The Mishnah said, if somebody becomes a partner with a kohen or a goy, tzarech lirshem, he has to make a sign on the meat that these are his partners. Ask the Gemara, is a sign required when we have a partner or a goy? For minay, the Braisa says, hamishtatef im kohen, tzarech lirshem, hamishtatef im avik kachavim, b'sula mikdashim, ain't tzarech lirshem, you don't have to make a simon. Psulim Mikdashim on meat that became disqualified, that can't be sold in a normal way, and we'll see soon. So you see that you don't have to make a sign when you have a goy partner. Answers the Gemara, Hachamai Skin and the Yosef Oivkachavim Am Sakta. It's referring to a situation where the goy is sitting in the store, and everybody knows that he's a partner. I asked the Rishonim that we learned in yesterday's shiur, that if the goy or the kohen are sitting in the store and they're shechting on behalf of Jews, the halacha is that you have to give matnas kahuna. So Rishonim answered two terutzim. One is that we said that's only after 2 or 3 weeks. This is before 2 or 3 weeks. Another terutz that I saw is that the Gemara said that was the takana of the Ziknei Dorim, and this price is referring before that takana was put in place. Ask the Gemara if it's referring to a situation that the non-Jewish partner is sitting there. So the Kavasal Gabakoyin the Yasuo Amsakta, the Kohen partner is also sitting there. So why do we need to make a sign? A Maitzar Chlersham? Answers the Gemara, Damri Bifikas of him. Because just because the coin's there doesn't prove anything, because people say he just came to buy meat. Ask the Gemara if that's the concern. Even if the guy is in the store, why shouldn't we be concerned that Amri Bishrikas oven that he just came to buy meat? And it's the Gemara, my skin in the Yosef Avikachamakasta. He's sitting by the cash register. So it's obvious that he's a partner. So ask the Gemara, so the Kavasag Abakayim to Yosef Kasta. If the coin is sitting by the cash register, it too is a proof that he's a partner. And why must a sign be made? A Maitzar Chlershon. Says the Gemara, Amri Hamuni Hamini. If just because he's sitting in the cash register doesn't mean that he's a partner, people will say that they trusted him, but not that he's a partner. So ask the Gemara, if so, by Goy also, Nami Amri Hamuni Hamini, why should we be concerned that people will say that he's trusted? And says the Gemara, Ain Amuni B'Kav Chavim. No one's going to say that he let the Akum sit there because he trusted. Vibai Seima, Stam Ev Kacham Mifi Poyi. The Akum, if he's a partner, he gives orders, he yells in the store. So everybody knows he's a partner. The Kayin is much quieter, so it's not obvious that he's a partner. That's how most Rishonim learn. The Rambam says not only does he yell in the store, but he yells everywhere, lets everybody know that I'm a partner in that store. And therefore, the difference between the Rambam and the other Rishonim is, must the guy be in the store to not, us not have a requirement of a sign? According to the other Rishonim, he has to at least be in the store. According to the Rambam, it doesn't even have to be in the store that we should know that he is a partner. Amamar, so the Brisa just said, Upsulim Doshim, when we sell him Psulim Doshim, ain't Tzarech Lershim. Alma, it's obvious that Mokcha Milsa, it's obvious to everybody that this is Psulim Doshim. Ask them Ravonatnan, Psulim Doshim, Nimkarim Be'itlis, could be sold in the butcher store, Mishchotim Be'itlis, in the meat market, in the Shkolim Be'itlis, they could be weighed like everything else. So we see that it's not obvious that Suleim Mekdashim answers the Gemara, Tigmar of Adbar Havaka made Rapapa, Baisim Nakar Mataycha Bayis. As the Rishonim explain, there are two types of Suleim Mekdashim that are sold. We have a carbon that gets disqualified, that's sold, and we have Bechar that becomes a Balmum that's sold. So a Behema, a carbon that gets disqualified, that's sold, and its proceeds go to Hegdish, should be sold in the market. So that's where Hegdish is most likely to get the best price, to get the most value. On the other hand, a Bechar that's being sold, it's being sold by the Kohen who received it. And since it's being sold by the Kohen who received it, he will not be careful. He will not, we're not as concerned that it should get the best price, so it only can be sold in the house. Since it's sold not in the house, not in the meat market, it's obvious that it's psulei hamikdashim. Amar Funa, shutef b'roish, if somebody's a shutef in the head of the animal, if a kohen is a kohen or an akum of a shutef in the head of the animal, put them in a lechi, then they don't have to give lechi. The Achronim explain, that's only if they're not partners in a specific part of the head, but if they're partners in a specific part of the head, then the rest of the head is chayiv in matnas kuhuna. Same, shutah b'yad, potem mizroya, shutah b'nei ma'ayim, potem in a keva. I did see that the achroinim say that if somebody takes a partner, and a goy or a kohen, and he takes him a partner specifically in these three parts and no other part of the animal, that's considered a haroma, and he may be chayiv in matnas kuhuna. Chibar rabama, a few shutuf achas behen, even if a kohen or akam of shutuf in one of these three parts of the animal, potma kulam, there is no chiv in matnas kuhuna. Meisvei asked the Gemara on this opinion. It says in the Braisa, haroi shali, if the kohen or akam sell an animal to a Jew, and they say the head I'm keeping, the kul shulchan, the rest of the animal is yours. But feel echem meberosh, or even if he said just one part, 100 of the head. Potter, then he's Potter from Matnas Kuhuna. We'll see what that means. Or it was sold Hayad Shali the Kul Shalach. I feel Echem Mei Biyad Potter. Or the name Ayn Shali the Kul Shalach. I feel Echem Mei Behem Potter. My laugh doesn't the Brisa mean Potter min Alechi that if the guy or the Akum retain ownership in the Lechi, he's going to be Potter from Matnas Kuhuna on the Lechi. The Chayy Bekulon. but he'll be chayiv matas kuna from the other parts of the animal. When the same potam nazroi v'chayiv bekulon, potam nakeva chayiv bekulon. Whereas Chiba Rav says as soon as their partner and one of them, they're completely exempt from matnas kuhuna. And it says the Gemara loy. What the Brice means is potam mikulon, that if their partner in any way, they're completely exempt. Ask the Gemara if that's what the Brice means. For listening, so the Brice should have said potam mikulon. Void, furthermore, says the Gemara, Tanya, haroi shali v'kula shecha, afil echem emei v'roish, petem en alechi, and the Brice says, only in the part that he retains ownership is he potter, but everything else chai b'kulan. So says the Gemara, indeed, t'yufta d'chi b'rav, t'yufta. Says the Gemara, on Rav Chisda, hom masnisa t'yos l'chi b'rav. What caused chi b'rav to make this error and believe that as soon as the kohen or the akum has some ownership, they're totally exempt from matnas kuna, is the following braisa. The Tanya, esrim v'arba matnas kuna heim. The 24 matnas kuna, the kula nitin la Aaron ubana b'chlal uprat. They were all given to Aaron first in a klal and then a prat, bris melech, and there was said a bris melech regarding them. Kala mekayma, whoever gives the matnas kuna, kilakim klal uprat ubris melech. As the Mefarshim explained, as if he keeps the whole Torah, which is explained in the klal uprat fashion, it keeps the Torah which the Eibishter already said by Brias Olam, that salt should be brought on all kabbonis. The kolo oiva aleim, kilo oiva al klal uprat ubris mela. Veleim, esav emigdash, the 10 matnas kuna that are done in the azara, are in the base of migdash, are yushlaim, vesav begvulim, outside of yushlaim even. Esav emigdash, chatos, chatos oif, the reason they're separated, because the chatos oif was slaughtered through malika, oshem vadai voshem toli, even though they're brought the same way, but to two different categories, to two different names, Zivchei Shalmi Tzibur, which is only Karben Shlomim, that's Karben Tzibur, Lod Shemesh HaMetzayra, that the Metzayra brings along when he does his purification, the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos, the Lechem upon him, which we just spoke about before in every Shabbos, Shiori Minchas, after somebody brings a Karben Mincha, the Shiraim are given to the Kahanim, the Kamitz is burnt, Minchas Oimer, given that the Minchas Oimer is the only Karben Mincha that's from the Tzibur, and it's brought from barley, Vabi Yerushalayim HaBechayra, HaBikurim, Umurim and HaToyda Ve'el Nazir, the part that's removed from the Toyda, and the El Nazir, that the we know by ring Karben Toyda, you bring 40 loaves, 4 times 10, and one of each of those loaves is given to the Kohanim, as is some of the meat, V'Oyer is Kachim, by kachim hides go to the kohanim. Esav gvulim truma trumas meiser, which is 10% of the meiserishin. Chala reshit ogeiz, which we're going to learn in the next parak. Matonis the royal chayim v'keva pidyon aben pidyon petach amor, when somebody has a firstborn donkey, it's redeemed. Stei achuza, if somebody was magish to stei achuza and he wasn't paided by yovel, it goes to the kohanim. Stei charomim goes to the kohanim. The Gezel Ager, as we discussed the other day, if somebody falsely denied that he stole and then it confesses and the person has no Yorshim, it goes to the Kohanim. So, Husover, Chiva Rav, assume, Midika Choshalo Mahatanis Bechada, since the Zroel Chaim became considered one category, Chodininu, it's all one. And if either it's all or nothing, and if you have to give, you have to give, if not, not. Vloihi. But that was an error, because Otamur of the Toid Ve'el Nozer, Kachoshul Kachada, we just mentioned the Toid and the El Nozer in one category. Is it one? Mishum the Chad and Nani? Are they considered one? Of course not. There's no connection between a Nozer and a Kaibur and Toid. Elkim the Damil Adadi, since they're similar, Kachoshul Kachada, they were put into one category. Achinami, same too, by the Zroel Chaim Keva, Kim the Damil Adadi, since they're similar, Choshul Kachada to put into one category, but they're not connect in that way. You could give this, you could be Chayiv Zroya, even if you're not Chayiv L'Chaim Okeva, or vice versa. Iboilu, so they asked, Haroi Shalcha, if the Kohen said to Yisrael, you get the head, the Kul Shali, Mahu. Now what will be the halacha regarding Matnas Kuna? Dosa, Chayiv Azlim, do we look at the actual item in question? The Chayiv Gav Yisrael, and Yisrael gets the Roish, and therefore we should have to give it to the Kohen. Adama also ikka behemah zlim. Do we look at the animal? The ikka behemah, And here the animal, most of it remains by the Kohen. Toshma, Oiv Kacham Kohen, Shemosu Tzonim Yisrael Ligzois. If a Goy and Akum give their animal to a Jew to shear, potter. There's no chiv of Reishas Ageis. Halokei Ageis Tzonim Shalav Kachavim. If a Jew buys the wool of an animal from an Akum, potter Reishas Ageis. Again, he's potter from giving the Reishas Ageis to the Kohen. The Zech Chayim B'Zroi B'Chayim B'Kevi Yosem Reishas Ageis. That we see here that if a Kohen or an Akum sell the Zroi B'Chayim B'Kevi of a living animal to Yisrael and keep the rest of the animal, he would be Chayiv in Matnas Kuna, even though most of it remains by the seller, Shema Mina. From here we see the Basel Chayuv Ezlinen, that we look at the pot and who has the head. If Yisrael has the head, he has to give it. Unlike Reishas Ageis, Shema Mina, that we see that we look, the only factor to take into consideration is who has the head, and if Yisrael has the head, he's obligated to give it a Kohen. As Rav Shach explains in the Sefer of Yezri, the difference between Reishas Ageis and Zroi L'Chaim Keva, the Reishas Ageis is an obligation on the animal. And if the animal is primarily by a Kohen or an Akum, there is no Chiv Reishas Ageis. Whereas Zroi L'Chaim Keva is not an obligation on the animal, it's an obligation on the Zroi L'Chaim Keva. And therefore, if the Zroi L'Chaim Keva is in the possession of Yisrael, there is an obligation to give them to the Kohen.